chapter 23. Well, at the very end of chapter 22, I'm sure you remember Balaam having the difficulty with his donkey and that whole issue. I mean, many, many people, even though they're really not familiar with exactly what went on, many people know the Bible story of Balaam and the talking donkey. Okay, well, you just remember that it was Balak, the king of Moab, who had wanted to pay Balaam to curse God's children, wanted to pay him a large amount of money. As a matter of fact, he said to Balaam, basically, you can name your price, whatever you want. I'll give you fame as well as fortune. Just, you know, you write your own ticket. The very end of the chapter of chapter 22, Balak took Balaam up to a mountaintop so that he could see the camp of Israel. Just get a look at it. Just take a look how they're camped, how there are so many of them, and how they just cover the land. Look at that. But you got to remember that the Lord told Balaam he could not say anything unless God put the words in his mouth to say it. So he's not going to be able to curse God's people. Now, Balaam keeps reiterating that to the king, to King Balak, and you'll see that in Numbers chapter 23. You'll see it again. I told you, I can't do it. Now, what Balaam's heart is I would love to do it. If I thought I could get away with it, I would try it, but I can't get away with this. You know, we live in a society that is getting away with too much. We say that we belong to the Lord, but we're not dressing it. We're not living it. We're not acting it. We think we're getting away with it. We're not. At least Balaam was smart enough to know, I better not even try. And so we begin chapter 23. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he shows me, I will tell you. And he went to a high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and said, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and the princes of Moab. Here's what we've got. Why is Balaam going to ask God anything? You already know. Because he wants to get rich. Really what he wants is what he's been offered. I'd love to find a way to get from you, King, what you've offered to give me. Now the deal is, if I could curse your people, you would give me these things. But I'm telling you, I can't do that, but I hate to walk away from all these things. So here's an idea. Let's build 7 altars and let's offer a bullock and a ram on each one of them. That's got to make some kind of impression on God. I wonder if that's how we're doing it. Don't you wonder? I'd like God to give me what I want. So, you know, maybe if I read my Bible every day this week, 7 days straight, I'd offer him a bullock and a ram and a partridge and a pear tree. I mean, whatever I could offer him. I wonder if that'll do it. You know, if I'm good enough this week, maybe he'll answer my prayers. Maybe he'll give me what I'm asking. What you're asking for is going to hurt you, Balaam. Well, okay, we all know. The Christian response is always, I know. No, you don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't be asking that. If you knew, you wouldn't be living that way. If you knew, you wouldn't be doing that. But you don't know Balaam, and you're pretending now. Let's do something holy, and let's see if this will pull it our way. What is going on here? He wants to get rich. He just wants to have the fame and the fortune, and he wants everybody to know his name. Should he obey God, or should he obey his own lusts? All of us would answer, obey God. But you see, that's because it's not us. The obvious answer is always the obvious answer for someone else. It is. See, in my case, there's an excuse. There's a reason that it's this way. That you got to understand, if you had to live my life, if you had to go through what I have to go through, if you had to put up with what I have to put up, stop whining, Bob. Do you listen to God, or do you obey your own lusts? Which one is it going to be? Balaam has set up altars in a high place to sacrifice animals. Seven altars, seven oxen, seven rams. An oxen and a ram on each altar. Find that for me in the law. Just take some time and go through Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and find that for me. Where a guy that isn't a priest can offer anything on any altar. Find that. Can you? You can't. It's not there. It's forbidden. Saul's going to get in trouble for doing it. It's forbidden. Well, Balaam's doing it. Yeah, well, see, Balaam's got an ulterior motive. I want something from God. I'll give something to him. He's treating God like God's a loser like him. It's a lesson for me and you. How are we treating God? You know, I'll give you that 50 I owe you in that tithe box if you get me out of this jam. Wait a minute. There is no biblical instruction to do what Balaam did, but there is biblical instruction to not do what Balaam did. But Balaam did it anyway. And what were the results? God met with him. Did you hear that? Doesn't that make you a little nervous? Really? When God knows your heart to begin with, and you're here playing this little religious thing, and God shows up, wouldn't it scare you some? It would. Not Balaam. He's not a priest. God, not only did he meet with Balaam, but he gave Balaam a message. He put some words in your mouth. Remember, you can only speak what I put in your mouth. You can only say what I told you to say, Balaam. A message that he should take back to the king. Verse 7 says that he took up his parable and he said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Remember, this is the parable. These are the words now he's speaking before the king. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, after that message right that we just read right there, what have you done to me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, you've blessed them completely, or altogether. And he answered and he said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? I told you, I have to say what God told me to say. And the king would have every right at this moment to look at this jerk, say, what are you doing here? Why are you even here? You told me that before you got here, that you couldn't say anything. You couldn't curse me. You could only say what God told you to say. Why are you here? You know, if you asked Balaam that, what do you think he would have said? Well, I just love the Lord. You know, I just love the Lord and I just want to do His will. And, you know, I just want to see if I can help you. I mean, that's what we're called to do. We just want to care for one another. He would have lied and lied and lied. All he wants is stuff. Here's the message God sends back to the king from Balaam. He says, Balak the king, you brought me here out of my home. You sent for me to curse Jacob, curse Israel. But here's the message God has given me to you. And so I ask simply, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? In other words, God is too powerful. It cannot be done. No one can curse those people. How can I stand against the ones that God does not stand against? See, if God stands for them, how can I stand up and stand against them? What does Romans 8:31 say? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How can I stand against them when God doesn't stand against them? How can I curse them when God blesses them? Then what are you doing here? Well, I want this. I got something I want. It's a heart problem here, but you see, these are God's people. The message goes on to say that we read from verses 7 through 12. These are God's people. Notice what God says about them. They live apart and separate from all the nations. I wonder, as we read that message, do we think about ourselves that way? Do you really see you as being apart, away from, not a part of, the world? Or do you see you sort of blended in? You know, a little bit of a mixture so that it's really hard to tell sometimes what you're about, especially if the world's trying to figure it out. Well, Balaam, you know, you can't tell it, but here's what God says about His people. They live apart and separate from all the nations. I have called them apart. A peculiar people, the New Testament says, called apart, set aside. And I wonder, are we? Balaam isn't. God says, my people are. Their numbers are like the dust of the earth. And here's something that comes out of Balaam's mouth that probably surprised Balaam. Balaam says, and I even wish I were one of them myself. Which means I am not one of them. Balaam says, yeah, I wish I was one of them myself. This is the way he said it. Let me die the death of the righteous, verse 10, and let my last end be like his. I wish I could be a part of that, or I wish I could be like them myself. And needless to say, King Balak of Moab, he wasn't happy with the message. I don't get it. We just set up 7 altars. We just killed 14 animals. You went off and came back telling the exact same thing you told me yesterday. What did we just do all that for? You know, I hate to get personal with you, Bill, but you are wasting my time here, aren't you? Why don't you just come clean and tell me? I need to go home because this is not going to work out. I ask you to curse them, and you've given them a really great blessing, not even close to a curse. And here's what Balaam's answer is. I told you. I told you so. I can only speak the words that the Lord put in my mouth. I ask you again, Balaam, then why are you here? Why are we all wasting this kind of time? Well, verse 13 says, and Balak said to him, come, I pray thee, with me to another place. I love this logic. From whence thou mayest seest them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from there. How about if we go to another spot and you curse them from right there? You won't be able to see all of them, but we got a spot where you can overlook it and kind of see. So would you, let's go over there and curse them from there, okay? What does Balaam say? Oh, well, we give it a shot. Why does Balaam go with him? I know why, don't you? I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. I think we're seeing a lesson here that I personally think makes Christians a little nervous. Because it reveals our real hearts. Balaam is a character we just don't quite understand, except we all relate to him. Kind of a little awkward, isn't it? Well, Balak said unto him, verse 13, come, I pray thee, with me to another place from whence thou may see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shall not see them all, and curse me them from there. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, that's a mount, and built 7 altars, offered bullock and rams on every altar. Had to go again against God's word. And he said unto Balak, all right, we tried it. We offered the burnt offering. Stand here by the burnt offering while I go and meet the Lord over there, over yonder, King James says, yonder. And here again the Lord met Balaam. And put a word in his mouth and said, go again to Balak and say this or thus. When he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering and the prince of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? Now, do you really think everybody's figuring the answer is going to be different this time? I don't expect it to be. Do you? Why did Balaam go? Doesn't he know what God's going to say? You're going to kill 7 more bullocks, 7 more rams, and you're going to ask God, okay, can I curse them now? We did that. That's 14, you know, 14 of each. God, that's a big gift. You owe me now. Think God's going to say, oh, 14. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of death. Oh, you're right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, curse them. And God is going to come out with a little stronger message. Listen closely. When Balaam speaks these words out, he's going to hear them himself. Does that make sense to you? He's not getting it. He doesn't want this. He wants a curse to go on. It would bless his heart big time if we could get a little curse happening here, and he's not getting it, and he's got to try and look holy because it is tacky if you don't. Somebody's going to catch on what you're really about. Well, verse 18 says, well, wait, verse 17, when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offerings and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what has the Lord spoken? I can't wait to hear it. Maybe he's going to be a curse. Oh. He took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and listen. Listen unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Why'd you come to the second mountain and build these altars and do these animals? Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He had not been beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. If you're a Bible underliner, underline that. He is teaching the king how to destroy and cause a curse upon Israel. You see it? He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. And God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God hath done, or what God hath worked, or what King James, what God hath wrought. Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift himself as a young lion, and shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. More bad news for the king. Let's go to another mountaintop. Let's try another approach. That prayer didn't work. Let's try another approach. Let's get together a different group. Maybe it's the group I'm a part of, you know, and just get together with a little bit more holy group. And then maybe that'll help. You know, we get together. Maybe we should get together more often and really, really go in depth into this, you know, comic book or whatever. Let's see what happens. Another mountain. By the way, if you go to another mountain, you're going to get a different view. That's what the king even mentioned. Now, we'll go to this mountain over here. Kind of a cool mountain, high up. But now, I warn you, they're spread out so far. You're not going to be able to see all of them this time. You're going to see the utmost part, the hinder part of them. You'll see a bunch of them, but you won't be able to see the whole camp. But that's all right. Maybe God will curse and, you know, curse can go part of it. That'd be cool. Going to have a different view. Christian, when you read your Bible and it clearly says repent, and it clearly says, be holy, for I am holy. Do you go looking for another view? You know, check on the internet, see if there's any articles on that subject. Maybe there's, Christianity Today's got some good things, and even with pictures. Do you go looking for another view? That's what the king did. And Balaam thought, yeah, sure, let's give it a shot. Let's do it. So they go through the same sacrificial ritual. Balaam goes to meet with the Lord, and he returns to the king with a message from the Lord. Listen, king. This is pretty strong. Pretty strong language. God's getting a little tougher here. God is not a man that he should lie. Who are these words coming from? Balaam's not making these up. These aren't things he really believes wholeheartedly. He's not saying, I kind of feel bad and I better say this. Remember, the Bible says that God put these words in his mouth, that these are the words that he must speak. These are directly from God. God is not a man that he should lie. I told you I'm not going to curse them, and I am not going to curse them. I didn't lie, that's the truth. Neither the son of man that he should repent. And I'm not going to change my mind, no matter how many bullocks you do. No matter how many rams, no matter how much of a sweet smelling, no matter what you try, I am God, I don't lie, and I'm not going to change my mind here. The God of Israel promises to bless his people, and he will bless his people. Balaam says, and here it is again, in Balaam's language, I have to. It's not that I want to, I have to. I have no power, he says, to do anything else. You know what that tells you? If I had the power, I would. But I'm sorry, I don't have it. Thanks for the bullocks and stuff, you know. But and then Balaam warns the king by God's word that Israel, like a lion, will rise up and destroy her enemies. Part of those include Moab. I brought you here. I paid your way to get you here so that you could tell me they're going to beat me. I brought you here to curse them, and you're telling me they're going to actually overpower me. I paid you in your weight and fed you to get you to say that to me. I'm losing money here and lots of animals. Verse 25. After Balak heard that he might get overpowered by the power of God, and by the armies of God himself, look at his response. Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Verse 25. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaks, that I must do? I love the king's response, because now he's a little bit afraid. He's going to rise up, Israel will, by the power of God, and destroy their enemies. Like a lion, like a roaring lion. So the king is a little afraid, and so he says to Balaam, look, don't get the people upset, all right? Let's back off this a little bit. Don't get God upset. We don't want that kind of battle on our hands. So you know what? Keep your mouth closed. Don't curse them and don't bless them. Let's just kind of stop this for a little bit. He's a little nervous now. But not too, because look at the next verse. Balak said to Balaam, come, I pray thee, I'll take you to another place. This is the third mountaintop. Peradventure, it will please God that you may curse me them from there. I'll go to another. Let's go to another spot where we can see him. Let's get another location. Let's look at it a whole other way. Let's just get another view. And maybe then you can curse him. And Balaam said, no, I can't. No, I can't. No, what did Balaam do? He went along, didn't he? I mean, that, I don't know. I'm amazed. I'm just shocked and amazed at this guy. Okay. Balak brought Balaam to the top of Peor that looks toward Jeshimon. And Balaam says to the king, build me here 7 altars and prepare me 7 bullocks and rams. Balak did as Balaam said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Are you sure God won't curse him? I'm positive. He's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Okay. Don't say anything. All right. Well, wait. There's another place we can go to. It'll give you a much better view. Maybe if we go there, when they get there, what does Balaam say? Okay, let's build 7 altars. I don't know. It's worth a try. What have we got to lose? And I think, somebody shoot him. Somebody just shoot him. Put him out of our misery. But I think God's teaching us a lesson about ourselves. It's a heart issue, and I think that we could learn it if we're all humble enough to listen to it. It's a heart issue about our own lives. What are we really all about? Love the Lord your God, the Bible says, with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Love the Lord your God. Jesus said that's the greatest of all commandments. And the next is like unto it. Love your neighbors, yourself. Consider everybody else first. God first, and then everybody else. And we quote it, but we watch Balaam not doing that at all. And we look at him, we shake our heads. But what is God teaching us about ourselves? Let's move to another mountaintop. Let's get another perspective. Maybe, from this perspective, we could get our way. Maybe God will curse from over here. So far, what I see and what you see, what we've seen, is the king is honestly not willing to take no for an answer. He's just not going to do it. He's not, at this moment, ready to go, all right, I give up. Let's try another mountain. But here was what amazes me. Balaam is also not willing to take no for an answer. God says, no, you won't curse them. No, you won't curse. And so Balaam is willing. Let's give it one more shot. We'll do some more altars. We'll do some more, blood. We'll do some more animals. And maybe, just maybe. And I wonder if we're guilty ourselves sometimes. And we need to ask God to search our own hearts. Remember the psalmist says, you're the one that knows hearts. You search my heart. Why? Because if I search my own, nothing will come up. You've been searching your heart lately and saying, I'm doing great. You know what? Humble yourself before the Lord. Say, Lord, you search my heart and know me. And see if there be any wicked. You might be surprised at what comes up. We want something so badly, we're willing to move around the mountain just a little bit. I was watching a discussion via email between a couple of people, and they were sending, it was coming to me. I was getting carbon copies. They wanted me to see it. And they were discussing an issue out of the Bible. And the issue, when I read the verse that they were debating over, they weren't mad at each other, they were debating. When I read the verse, I thought, this is crystal clear. I know it is. But as they communicated to each other why they felt it didn't say this and why this one said, well, I think you're the original, you could tell one of them had a motive behind what they were saying. They wanted it to be a certain way. It wasn't that it was that way, but it is in their life. It has to be that way for me, or I'm going to have to make a drastic change in my family and in my life. And you could watch them do that as they emailed back and forth, and they must have sent each other 20 emails. And you could, see clearly, because I wasn't in the argument, I was just sitting back reading it for them. You could see clearly that this one person says, I could practically tell you what's going on in their family and their life. And I thought, this is amazing. It's kind of interesting to watch. And I think probably we're all that way. But now you're outside the box watching what's going on inside the box. And you can see this person has an agenda. That's why this verse has to say that for them. Here we go to another mountaintop because we've got an agenda and we really need to get this over here. We couldn't get to it there and there. Maybe we can get to it here, you know, instead of just humbling ourselves and just giving up and saying, let's forget this whole thing. Well, we go to the next chapter. There was a bullock and a ram on this third mountain. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, verse 1 of chapter 24. He went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Balaam, from this new location, as they're doing the offerings and all, he's got this third location going on. And he just kind of looks out over all of Israel. And remember, that he just said that it looked like they looked like the dust of the earth. There are so many of them, you couldn't count them. They're covering the whole valley out there. And it looks like here this language says, he's beginning to see the light, so to speak. That's kind of a cliche, but he's beginning to get it. I think we're not going to curse these people. I just don't think we're going to get it accomplished. Yeah, I think he's figuring he's playing out of luck. He's not going to get the big bucks this time. He's not going to get the awards and the medals and all the honor and the glory that he thought that the king had promised him. I don't think God's going to let me have this stuff. I think, you know, you can almost hear Balaam saying stuff like this. I don't think God loves me. You know, if he loved me, he'd want to bless me. He just obviously doesn't love me. I just don't think God's going to come through on this one. Christian, when was the last time you felt that way, maybe even prayed that way? Hey, God, it looks like you're not coming through on this. It looks like you're not coming through. I've been crying out to you and you're not coming through. Have you ever thought, then maybe I'd have your Bible open and see exactly what God's Word says about it. Because the Bible says in 1 John, if we pray according to His will, we know He hears us, and therefore we know we have exactly what we ask for. If it seems like God's not coming through, we might want to take a step back, humble ourselves, and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, there's a problem here. Obviously, it's me. Show me how I'm coming about it wrong, or whatever the situation. Well, Balaam's slowly catching on. He's not going to be a hero. He's not going to be much of a legend, as the king probably is. He's not going to be rich and famous. Then the Spirit of God comes upon him, and he begins to speak. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. He hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how godly are thy tents, or I'm sorry, goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of Lebanon aloes, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the water. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in the many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag. Agag will be there from this prophecy, by the way, 200 years later. He shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He crouched. He lay down as a lion. That couched is the word we use for crouched. And as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesses thee. Isn't that interesting? And cursed is he that curses thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, you have altogether blessed them these three times. Balaam begins to prophesy. God puts words in his mouth. He begins to speak. And his message is a blessing for the children of Israel. Here we are in the third mountain. Here we are looking for a new viewpoint, a new opportunity. Maybe God will bend on this one and let me curse. Instead, he begins to speak, and it's even more blessing than it was before. And he makes the statement, may those who bless you be blessed, Israel, and may those who curse you be cursed. Isn't that what God promised to Abraham? Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. That's exactly what God promised. And now he's kind of repeating it here. These are words from God. May those, Israel, that bless you be blessed. And may those that curse you be cursed. Who's standing there listening to these words? The king who wants these people cursed. May those that curse you be cursed themselves. He's saying, King Balak, you want to curse God's people. That means you will be cursed yourself. So is Balak a little angry? Bible says he is a little bit angry. Look at this. Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. He just kind of smacked his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my people. Behold, you have altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore, now flee thou to thy place. Go home. I thought to promote you to great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept you back from honor. You see, it's God's keeping you from getting blessed, Balak says. And Balaam said to Balak, spoke I not also to thy messengers, which thou sent unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Didn't I tell your messengers that? Now, behold, I go to my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. The king is angry. He basically tells Balaam, you've been a waste of my time. You're not getting a penny from me. There will be no honor. There will be no money. Go home. You know, I could have made you a wealthy man. You could have had it all, buddy. But your God kept you from getting it. Your God sends you away empty-handed. Interesting. In verse 15, Balaam says, then let me tell you, before I go, one more thing. Verse 15, he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, he goes, this is what I saw and heard. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. That came out of nowhere, didn't it? I wanted you to curse these people, and you blessed them. You know what? Get out of my sight. I'm sorry you came around. I'm not going to give you the money. I'm not going to give you the glory. I'm not going to spread your name around. We don't want you around. Go home. I told you before I came here, I can't do anything unless God says I can do it. Whatever God says, I got to say it. Sorry, I warned you. But before I go, let me just say something else. This is directly from God. And it's a prophecy. This is the third one now. And it's about Messiah. You read it, didn't you? There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Do you know who came remembering that? The wise men came to see Jesus, having studied God's word from a prophet that was only into prophet. Yet what a powerful prophecy. And people say, how could Saul prophesy and still be bugged with evil spirits? Yeah, I know. And now you got Balaam, whose heart is not for God. Yet here's a prophecy that is a powerful messianic prophecy. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, a ruler, come out of Israel. The scepter obviously represents the king. If you've ever wondered why the wise men might have been looking for a star, here it is. This very reason, this very prophecy. About 1,500 years later, Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And the wise men from way over there will come looking for the king that's to be born in Israel. And you know what that king's going to do? To the king of Moab and to all his enemies, going to crush them, the Bible says. That made Balak feel good, didn't it? There's an authority coming, and he will rule over all his enemies. Well, look at verse 20. And when he looked on Amalek, he goes on, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and he took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and you put your nest in a rock. You know, they built their cities in the rock. Nevertheless, the Kenites shall be wasted until Asher shall carry thee away captive. Balaam continues on with the word from God concerning Amalek. They lived among the Moabites. Remember, the Amalekites were also kind of mixed in among the Moabites. They were the ones that attacked Israel, if you recall, just after the Exodus out of Egypt. Remember that? And they attacked the slower ones, the older ones, the weak ones. And God, and so here's a prophecy for you, right from Balaam's lips. Amalek will be destroyed as well. Not only Amalek, but the Kenites. Kenites were part of the Midianites. Midianite, by the way, that was what Mr. Balaam was. Even though they had a pretty secure dwelling place in the rocks and such, God says, they will still be judged by God. They will be taken away captive by the Assyrians. Asher, the Assyrians, king of the Assyrians. So before he goes, he sure gets a lot of word out, doesn't he? Verse 23 says, and he took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher, the Assyrians, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. Chittim is probably representative here of Rome. So you've got a long way to go, but eventually Rome's going to come across on ships, and they're going to crush the Assyrians, and et cetera, and so forth. Eventually, Rome's going to come and attack and take over the land, not just of Moab, but the surrounding lands as well. And, of course, Israel will be included in that. You all know that from history. Now, with Balaam's prophecy finished, with no way to curse God's people, he's going to head home. And Balaam rose up, went and returned to his place. And Balak also went his way. And everybody went to their own place. Balaam's prophecy is finished. And he's finished with no way that he himself could curse Israel. Oh, how he wanted to do that. Because he had an ulterior motive. It would have really made him rich and famous, even more than he was. And it would have made him set for life. What's so wrong with that? So Balaam heads on back east now. He's headed toward modern-day Iraq. That's where he came from, the east over there. Mesopotamia. Poor Balaam. He really, at this point, didn't get what he was after. He wanted the loot. Wanted the money. Wanted the power and the position that he was promised. He's going home empty-handed. You know that guy's bummed. But you'll soon see, and I pointed it out to you earlier, Balaam actually told King Balak how to get God's people cursed. And that we'll quit here, but in the next chapter you'll see how that all works. Balaam's the one that gave him the way to do it. In the Bible we read in 2 Peter something called the way of Balaam. It's a warning for Christians. 2 Peter 2:15. He's talking about the false teachers, etc. Which have forsaken the right way, 2 Peter 2:15, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved wages of unrighteousness. What was the way of Balaam? Balaam wanted fame. Balaam wanted to be noticed. Balaam wanted people to think he was pretty holy. He wanted people to think that he was really something. He wanted to be rich. But more than that, he wanted to be something that he wasn't. And that's the way of Balaam. God warns you and me, stay away from the way of Balaam. Peter says the false teachers have gone the way of Balaam. Remember, teaching that gain is godliness, trying to get people to come after them. Do you really want to bless those people over there? Or do you really want God to, or people to see that you're being used to do that? The way of Balaam is a dangerous way. And it's tempting for every Christian in this room. For every Christian that you know. Even if they're not in this room. The glory and the money, that's Balaam's way. We're also told in the book of Jude about the error of Balaam. Now you've seen the way of Balaam. The way is a pride issue. He wants just to be somebody and to be rich and etc. But there's the error of Balaam also. Jude 11. Woe unto them, talking about those that have gone astray, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. You see, the error of Balaam is pretending to serve God while encouraging others to sin and even sinning yourself. Pretending to serve God. The only reason I'm here is I just love the Lord. And a lot of people will say that. Listen, if you love the Lord, you will never have to tell someone that you do. Never. Not in a million years. Because it will be so obvious, people will say, look how she loves the Lord. Look how. But if you have to tell them, look how I love the Lord, you have a real problem on your hands. If you have to tell them, no, really, my heart is all good. If you have to tell people that, there's something desperately wrong. That's the error of Balaam. Pretending to serve, you know, but really going for the reward. And really, if you don't love the Lord with all your heart, and others follow you, others mock you, in other words, others want to be like you. Well, when the blind lead the blind, Jesus already told us what's going to happen. You've got the error of Balaam. There's one more. Revelation chapter 2, there's the doctrine of Balaam. There's the way of Balaam, there's the error of Balaam, and all of us are warned about it. But there's the third one. That's the doctrine of Balaam in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus speaking to one of the seven churches of Asia. But I have a few things against you, because that because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. I've got something against you, church. You've got in your body, in your church, those that hold the doctrine of Balaam. He taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Balaam taught the king how to get Israel cursed. That's the doctrine of Balaam. What is it? He taught them a way to get the children of Israel hurt. Balaam's teaching was false, wrong, bad teaching. The doctrine of Balaam is a false doctrine, and it causes God's people not to be blessed and to be strengthened, but to actually be cursed. You know, what a dangerous thing for you and me to be telling people things that aren't true, and they go out and live them, and they're not getting blessed at all. As a matter of fact, God is on their backs, and they're literally, the blessings are gone from their life. Three things that we want to be careful of, and every one of us could do them easily. The way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the false teaching, the doctrine of Balaam. God warns us about those. And so, as Christians, we pray about it. We take these things to heart and say, Lord, teach me, show me, help me, grow me up. We don't want to do those things. If we are doing them, we should be saying it's in ignorance. Paul says some of the things I did in ignorance. I didn't even know. If we're doing those things in ignorance, we seek the Lord. Say, Lord, show me. And then there's this word that Jesus calls us to do. It's repent. Repent means to literally do a 180. You may have been going that way, but to literally turn around and don't wait and drag it out and 3 weeks later try and explain and apologize. Go the other way. That's what repentance is. That's what Balaam should have done. He didn't, but we can. Father, we ask of you a heart that is set on fire by your Holy Spirit. Not by anything else. No false fires. No fake fires, Lord, but just your Holy Spirit. To cause us to love you and to serve you and to walk with you in humility and in meekness, as Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Lord, that's what we need to learn. We need to hang out more with Jesus and learn more of that right there. Help us, Lord. Protect us. Keep us from going the way of Balaam, for being a part of the error of Balaam, for even messing in or messing with the doctrine of Balaam. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Strengthen us. We need to learn. We need to grow. Help us, Lord. We thank you. Pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.